While I get this microphone hooked back up, I want to say it's a special privilege to be in your church tonight on Wednesday night. That's special for me. That was the night I was saved. Last Wednesday night there at Old Swanee, where we're a member, my pastor had the upper respiratory infection, Pastor Campbell, Tim Campbell, and he called at the last minute for Pastor Missionary Wesley Hutchins, and he said, get a hold of Brother James and let him lead the music. So we came in, and everybody said, huh, what are you doing here? And I said, well, we're doing what God called us to do, and that's to be in the right place at the right time. And I know Wednesday night's special for each of you. On a Wednesday night at the Harold Grove Baptist Church, I was gloriously saved. Now, everyone does different on Wednesday night, but our pastor, he had singing and preaching and shouting if anybody wanted to shout. But it was a special night, and I sat about where pastor's at because Dad always made me sit up front to keep me out of trouble. But that night, I believe that the Holy Spirit convicted me of my sin as a young boy. And I was raised in church, but I believe there has to be that personal drawing and that conviction for the Holy Spirit to do the changing. And that fulfilled John 3:3, ye must be born again. So I tell folks, you know, 1 Peter says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, that's Hansard, or whatever your last name is, but by the word of God, that's incorruptible, which liveth and abideth forever. So the word of God preached, the Holy Spirit that gave the word of God through the man of God, and then the birth took place. So I'm thankful for that. And God has graciously given us the opportunity, as Pastor said, to go around the world. But there's nothing like being home in America. Amen? So I know each of you have a part here in America. You're a solid family. And because you obey the law, then you have a strong church. And those are three things that I always mention when I go into church. But tonight, I would like to do something, if I might. Pastor has given me permission. I'd like to use these Focus on the Field. And I passed out quite a few before the general families came, most of the families came in. But if I could, young man, would you help me? There we go. Pass these out to those. If you'd raise your hand if you did not get one. If you'd like one per family, I don't know if I've got enough to do the whole congregation, but at least look on. What we want to do tonight is we want to just let you focus on some things that you've been a part of as a missionary sending church. Now, you have missionaries out of this church, just like we have at Old Swanee Baptist Church. And I think that's a special privilege. Every time I go into a church, I ask them, have you ever sent someone to the mission field? Or have you had a part in it? And a lot of times they have, but there's something special about having your own young man or young family go out to the mission field and serve, representing you as a God-called man and an obedient wife and children to go to a mission field. Now, not every church experiences that. But just quickly tonight, before we do the presentation, I want you to take in some of the folks in the magazine you might recognize. A pastor said you do support some of them. But I'd like for you to turn to this page here. It's right in the middle, if you'll just quickly find that. And the reason I'm targeting this tonight is because this is the work at Gateway that you so graciously helped us establish there, right in the middle, where it says, establishing churches even in stormy times. And I want to just read that, but you can look at that. And what we did at Gateway, coming home from Indonesia, it was a culture shock. Now, just like you have missionaries sent out of this church, and you do learn a foreign language, but coming back to Alabama, it was is a transition for us. I guess the biggest thing for me was I bought a small pickup truck and got me a dog. Because I found out, and I love pets, even though we don't have one now. I like them. But I got involved in trying to just be a real pastor. Now, when you're on a foreign field, you are a pastor missionary. But at Gateway in Floralla, Alabama, it's right on the line. That's why they named it Floralis, Florida, Alabama. Some of you have been through there, and some of you have family down that way. But what I did was I picked up the idea. I thought, well, they have visitation, but they don't like for you to dress in a suit and tie and knock on their door. because they think you're, you know, from Washington. So I thought, well, I'll just get right down to it. So I bought me an S10 pickup truck, a used one, and I bought me a blue heeler and a cattle dog. And I thought, well, that'll fit in. Well, it went well till the dog started roaming the neighborhood, and I couldn't, you know, they're a good dog, but they need roaming territory. So I tried to chain it up, and poor thing, it about killed it. And I named her Trudy because she had blue eyes, and I said, True Blue. And I think we ought to be True Blue Christians, even though we have different backgrounds, we speak different languages, but we can be true to the Lord. And we know that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. So everybody, everywhere I go with a little dog, I thought, man, and it was a point of conversation. So I think that's important as a missionary. Wherever you go, it's just to not be involved in the things you shouldn't be involved in, which is sin. But you can. There's some cultural things that you can do. So we began to do visitation from what I consider not door-to-door, but from a distance. So I'd pull up, and they'd see the dog, you know, and they would talk to me. But they didn't want you necessarily coming up knocking on the door and saying, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so, like we do here. At least I think we do. But it was interesting, and the Lord allowed us to do that. And then I was sharing with Pastor. We had another friend, Brother Love, came down, and he presented a presentation because some of our folks couldn't read or write as well as we thought maybe some folks should. And I said, well, I'm still struggling with South Alabamian anyway because they say hisms and hersums. In some of the areas, not everywhere, but in that little town, it's funny. But I just said, Lord, I need to be true to your word, and I want to build the church the right way, and it's getting in front of the people. So Ron come up with this presentation called Your Day in Court, and he took it strictly from the Romans Road, and he used how that we are all guilty before God, and he put it on a DVD presentation. And we showed that. We had one man saved. His name was Ron. And Ron passed away 3 months after he was saved. So the thing that I believe we ought to do here, wherever we are, you know, the missionaries, we run all over the country, and we're supposed to be a good example. But I want to ask you, maybe someone in your family maybe is not as educated as you are, or someone that you feel like, well, Lord, you know, you won't ever use them. But I believe that Ron was used by the Lord because he said, preacher, I want to take you fishing. And I go fishing, but it's been a long time. My son, he's a bass fisherman. But he said, I want to take you fishing. And so we used the presentation, and the presentation consisted of this in a nutshell. When it comes from earth to heaven, how are you going to get from earth to heaven? And the goal and the emphasis of that lesson was about letting the Lord Jesus Christ take you from earth to heaven. You say, well, that sounds awful simple. Well, you have to understand, you're talking to someone that he loves to fish and he loves to work, but he's not into the scriptures. So we used a wheelbarrow. You say, well, that sounds awful primitive. I said, well, Ron, it's like this. I said, if someone was going to go across Niagara Falls, and we just came back from Niagara Falls visiting a couple that's in this magazine, the Mills, and I said, from that point A to point B, across Niagara Falls, I said, if someone went across and came back with a wheelbarrow, maybe he put his son in there and came back, make the illustration short, he said, wow, he said, they'd have to have a lot of faith and trust. And I said, well, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He wants to take you to heaven. If you'll get in the wheelbarrow, he'll take you to heaven if you'll trust in his death, burial, and resurrection. You can know this day that you're saved. You say, well, that sounds awful simple. But see, that's what he understood. He said, preacher, I want to get saved. What do I have to do? I said, get in the wheelbarrow. He said, I'll get in. And we prayed that afternoon. And Ronnie, I call him Ron, Ronnie got saved. So when I had his funeral, I put my wheelbarrow out in front of the church with a fishing rod in it and my tackle box. And I said, Lord, he got in, but only you know the impact he's going to have on his family's life. And the church was packed for his funeral. I'm saying no matter where the Lord takes you, you know, I'm not saying you have to dress immodest or do anything wrong, But I'm just saying, find out where people are. And I believe that was the key for Gateway Baptist Church, letting them know that someone from North Georgia, from the Gwinnett County area, was willing to go to Ronnie's house and to share the gospel. And I believe that's what builds a strong church, is that you have a shepherd that loves you, and he may not, he may not can play golf or fish or do all the things that some of us like to do, or sports. Maybe he can do them all. But he loves God, and he wants to get you from point A, earth, to heaven by God's grace. And I believe that's so important. I believe today, because of our faithfulness and God's faithfulness and your faithfulness in giving, Gateway Baptist Church is a strong church. What happened? They now have a pastor. His name is Jim, or James, same as mine, Long. He's 64, and he said, "Preacher, this is the end of the road." He's pastor before. So they're doing great. We went by there a few weeks ago, and they're excited. They have some new folks coming. I don't get the credit for that, but God does. And I believe that's so important. And if you'd like to take the time to look through the rest of the magazine, there are some other families here that you support. And Brother Bruce, we know Brother Bruce. He and I did deputation the first time, and it's so exciting. So as you look through the magazine, realize that these are just real people that live in a real place, but they serve the same God that you serve, and they know the Lord as their personal Savior. I would like to draw your attention to the Mills. This is a couple we just visited in Niagara Falls area. And I won't take time to read the article, but God blessed them to buy a Lutheran church, and God now has established a great work there, and they're doing a work reaching Jew and Gentile. So it's exciting. They had 82... Jewish people in their basement for the Passover Seder. If you know anything about Jewish studies, probably done a lot about that. That's exciting. And I had two saved. So you say, well, what part did you have in that? We have prayed for them. We love them. We got to go up there, and the folks that are in their church, they're excited because they were able to get this $242,000 Lutheran church for $100,000. It's got a pipe organ as big as that screen. And I tell folks, Kathy, she's my song person, but I just open up and let her fly. But this guy was playing this organ, and you're talking about beautiful. So the Lord does do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He does it in South Alabama. He can do it in New York, and especially in Niagara. Why? Because it's all about faith. Take that magazine. If you need some more, I can get those. I just like to have some object lessons. So tonight, I wanted you to see that God has raised up a pastor, and he's raised up a family there at Gateway Baptist Church to carry on the work. Now, there's two philosophies of church planning. One is you drop your missionary support, and you become the pastor. We didn't feel like God wanted us to do that. The other is that you get the work up and going, and they have their own pastor that comes. So that's exactly what we did. And the work's growing, and we're excited for that and appreciate you giving sacrificially. That not only the church in Indonesia, they're doing great. I won't take time to go over that tonight. They're doing good. Agape's doing great. But Gateway Baptist Church is going forward, and we're just excited for your faith promise giving toward that tonight. So what we'd like to do is show the presentation, and then maybe we'll open up for question and answer, because we are now the USA Eastern Director. And we're targeting the New England states. And because we're targeting those, maybe you have some relatives there that you could put us in contact with. We have some contacts. But our goal as a director is to come alongside these young couples and to be there for them as they endeavor to church plant in the New England states and in the east of the USA. So I want to show this presentation. Now, there may be some offensive things. I don't mean to be offensive, but it's just the facts about our country here in America. So, like I said, it's hard sometimes when a preacher preaches something. You say, well, is he preaching about me? But I pray that you'll take these, because they are truth as far as statistics about our country and the shape that we're in tonight. So I hope it'll be an encouragement about the need right here in the great USA. Thank you.
For amber waves of Over the next few minutes, I'd like to take time to share with you seven reasons why we should and must start churches in America. First of all, it's a command from Christ. Acts 1:8 says, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." The spread of the gospel should not have any boundaries, but be sent to every place where it's not currently proclaimed. This includes many portions of the United States that do not have good gospel preaching churches. This brings us to the second reason why we should start churches in America: money and manpower for missions. The money and manpower for foreign missions comes from churches here in the United States. If new churches are not started here in America, then this will not only cause people to die without Christ in those areas where the gospel is not proclaimed, but will also result in a lack of new money and manpower for foreign missions, and eventually will limit the ability of the Great Commission to be fulfilled. Thirdly, there's the ethic crisis in our country. Take a look around, and it's not hard to see the moral decline in America. We're a nation that leads the world in murder rates, violent crime, abortion, sexually transmitted diseases, teen suicide, divorce, single-parent households, drug use, and pornography. No wonder a noted moralist recently remarked, "We've become the kind of place to which civilized countries used to send missionaries." Consider these recent stats. In the year 2000, there were over 1 million divorces. In fact, more people in America today are part of a second marriage than of first marriages. Consider also, 60% of teens 16 and under have never attended a Sunday school, and 70% have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. One out of every four children born into the United States are born out of wedlock, and this figure rises to a staggering 70% of all African-American children who are born out of wedlock. Next, there's the rapid rise of cults. The fastest-growing church over the past 10 years has been the Satan Church, or the Church of the Wicca. According to stats, 800 Baptist churches closed their doors in America last year, while 1,000 new Muslim mosques were opened. Today, there are somewhere between 500 or 600 cults in America. There's been an explosion of growth in cultic activity and practice, especially those that are a part of the New Age movement and Eastern mysticism. In 1990, there were an estimated 500,000 Muslims in America. Today, that number has risen to well over 1 million. Buddhism and Hinduism saw similar growth in the past decade. There are over 4 million Mormons and 1.5 million Jehovah's Witnesses now living in America. In fact, there are over 32,000 reported Mormon pastors or missionaries in America. The growth of these cults cannot just be contributed to American converts, but we must also factor in our next reason for starting churches here in America, which is influx of immigrants. From the English and others who first set foot on these shores to those that cross our borders from Mexico today, America has become a nation of immigrants. In the first half of the last century, the annual immigration, both legal and illegal, was around 500,000 per year. Today, that number has surged to well over 1 million new people coming to America. It would take over 100,000 just to deal with our country's population growth from births and immigration. In New York City alone, 1,000 new churches running about 1,000 members would only reach one-tenth of that city's population. The United States Census Bureau projects that the Hispanic and Asian populations of America would triple in the next half century. According to projections, the non-Hispanic white population of America in the year 2050 will be only 50% of the total population. Consider also that our nation is on the move. The current residents of our country are moving out of the north and northeast and into the south and west. New cities and communities are springing up in the Sun Belt, with few, if any, churches being started to reach the people. The sixth reason we should start new churches here in America is the condition of our current churches. 85% of the current churches in America are in a decline. More and more churches are moving away from traditional biblical standards and incorporating the world's methods, music, and message in an effort to attract new members. That's not working. In fact, the number of people who don't affiliate or adhere to any religion has grown more than 92% over the past decade, rising from 39 million to almost 75 million unchurched people in the United States. Only China, India, Indonesia, and Russia have more unsaved and unchurched people than the United States. Lastly, but most importantly, we must consider that there is a judgment day ahead. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." What will we hear on that day? Will we have invested our time, money, and effort in the things of God? Or will we have wasted and misused all that God has given to us? Will he say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Or will it be, "Thou wicked and slothful servant"? Who will be the ambassadors of Christ in America? Who will deliver the word of reconciliation to millions of Americans living and dying without Christ? Who will go to America?
Of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6.
Tonight we are in America, and that's something that we're so proud of, but I know that a lot of times when you go into churches, you think, well, how can I become more focused on getting the gospel? Well, I believe the answer is found in God's Word, and that's simply that we are to seek ye first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33. And that's what you're doing here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church, is that you're putting God first. Some of you have given sacrificially. I want to thank tonight the Hendrys. They've given sacrificially to us and allowed us to live there with them. And many of you give out of your poverty, and many of you give when you don't have to give. But I want to say that when we get to heaven, like Pastor said, those small children that you win in those Bible clubs and in your neighborhood, it's worth it all. And I believe that's exactly what Paul was telling Timothy. He says, "From a child thou hast known the Scriptures." And because of a Sunday school teacher using flannograph and using a dictionary, a Bible dictionary with pictures, the Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, showed me I was lost. And I'm glad tonight to know that I'm saved. And then God called me to preach in 1979. I was leading the music at Old Swanee, working with the choir. We left our home church. I had a good job at Scientific Atlanta, left there, and then went to Tennessee Temple. And then we finished, we went on deputation. So whatever your background is, God can use you. Never say, "I can't do anything," but say in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things." So tonight, maybe you have some questions. If I don't know the answers, you have a shepherd, I'm sure. But I tell folks, if I don't know the answer from the Word of God, I'll be glad to do the research and look it up. But maybe you have some questions about the new work. We can't live off of past blessings. They are stepping stones, and they help us to encourage others. But, you know, when you've made some changes as a missionary, a lot of people look at it negatively. Well, I'll just say, Lord, help me to use it to be stronger and to help others. Because a lot of times when you make a change, well, you're not doing what you used to do. But you know what? I've learned over the years that the Lord does give us wisdom. And if we've learned a lesson through the hard times, we can help others. And I believe that's what my wife and I want to do. And I'm thankful that our boys are in church. Pastor's been with us, prayed through that with us. And you have. They're in church. And we're just thankful for what they're doing for the Lord. And we can't live off of past, as I said, but we've got to go forward. But our main thrust is to help these families that have stepped out by faith to help them start churches. So what does that involve? Well, maybe we start out by knocking on doors, and we have what we call a community picnic. After we've knocked on doors and given them an invite to come to meet the pastor or the church planting missionary, then we get to know everyone in the community. Not everyone's going to come to church, but at least lets them know who we are and what we're about. We have a brochure that tells everything about the church, just maybe as you have here. And if you have any questions, then we do the follow-up. So we, first of all, we want to get to know the folks in the community. So that's how we do it. We go in, knock on doors, pass out the literature, let them know who we are, come together. You say, everybody come for food. Amen. I know if you want to have a crowd, you offer food. But that's the way we have done it. We did it in Floralla. It worked great. We set up, just had lawn chairs, picnic tables, and got to know a lot of people. Not everyone came back, but they knew right up front who we are. And if they asked, we had our bylaws and constitution ready. That's from our home church, which is Old Swanee Baptist Church. So we did that. And from there, we have someone my wife played. I led the singing. And now they have a song leader there, and Brother Long is so excited because he doesn't sing or lead, but he's a great preacher. So it's small in its beginning, just like this church began one day, way back when. And I believe that's what God's called us to do, is help these families. I would like to mention right quick before I open up for questions, there's a couple of families that are right now starting churches. We just went to the Major's ordination in Luling, Louisiana, down there in the Cajun territory. He's ordained now and starting a church 45 miles from his church. So that doesn't sound far. But in that area, it's a great need in the Cajun area. And we were there for his ordination. I'm excited about the Major family, young couple. They have another baby on the way. So these couples need some help. And then we have Daniel and Sarah Sutton out of our home church, Old Swanee. They're going to Clinton, Massachusetts to start a work. So, Pastor, I'm sure he's been and would go, but that's where James and Kathy can come in. We're willing to be the meals on wheels, so to speak. We'll go and do what we can to help them and be a blessing. But these are two couples that have just been approved with Macedonia, and they're doing great. And as you know, it just takes time. Maybe you have some questions, Pastor. Maybe if you want to lead this. I would like to do that. I know this is a small map, but where the yellow is, the New England states, I called a pastor that was down at McDonough Baptist Tabernacle during a fellowship, and he said, Brother Hansard, you would not realize, unless you came, the dearth or the lack of fundamental, independent, good, Bible-believing Baptist churches in the New England states. So the Sutton family, they're targeting Clinton, but we would ask that you pray. Maybe you have some relatives. We know that that's cold country, but there is a real need for church planters, especially in the state of Maine. I met another man by the name of Brooke Settle. Didn't work? Okay. So, all right. But that's a real needy area. You say, well, what are you going to do? I'm a diehard Southerner. My pastor said, Brother James, I want you to learn everything you can about the New England states. and I want you to go, and I want you to just acclimate yourself and assimilate, just fit in. So it's going to be new for us, but that's the area that Kathy and I are targeting. Now, the Luling, Louisiana, you know, it's south, but Brother Campbell said, Brother James, you're going to go up there with the Suttons, and you're going to be right there for them. So that is one area that we are targeting when this couple, the Sutton, raises their support. But we're taking a survey trip up there. Let me share this with you. Brother Barris is 78, and he's in Clinton, Massachusetts. He said, Brother James, you know what's unique about Clinton, Massachusetts? I said, no, tell me. He said, it's the largest brewing town in America. They have the most breweries there of all of the United States. I said, Lord, I said, well, the Lord knows where to send us. But my past, the Hansards were moonshiners. So I know a little, I've never made mesh, but my grandpa and my dad, they were gloriously saved in their latter years. But, you know, when you think about the New England states, that our country was so strong in their belief. I mean, when you just study what happened there in Rhode Island with how Baptists really started, and down in Massachusetts, I mean, that was the heartland of our country, but now it's just a dearth. So it's a new step of faith for us. We're 58, and the grandkids, you know, I asked Kathy, I said, can you give me one reason we shouldn't go? She said, I'll give you five. Five grandkids. And she's sick tonight. I'm sorry she's not here, but I told her resistance way down. But, you know, when you take a step of faith to go to India, she says, well, if we went to Indonesia, why can't we go to the New England states? I said, well, we can, but by faith. But I would ask you to target this area here, especially in Maine. I mean, there's a real need there. For church planters, so if you would pray for the Sutton family tonight. And this is a little different for me. Usually you're trying to promote yourself. I said, Lord, that's over with. I said, I'm going to promote these young folks and just get behind them. And if they need the grass cut or the snow shoveled or the toilets washed, I said, I'll be there for them. But, you know, it's good to have someone that you can pick up the phone. Three quick things. I want to help them be equipped. And that's what pastor does with each of you. He equips you to fight the good fight of faith. Number two is to be there to encourage them. You can pick up the phone and talk to pastor, but you know what? Sometimes maybe he's busy. You say, I just need somebody to talk to, Lord. And that's what my son did when he was fearful in Indonesia. I said, well, let's just pray and the Lord will help us. He said, yeah, Daddy, but I need somebody I can touch. So, and then thirdly, not only encourage them in establish them in their calling and say, you better pray about that, but then be there to encourage them. And then thirdly, to expedite. That's what I used to do it in when I was at Scientific Atlanta. I was an expediter in a factory. And that is, help them to get where God's called them, not to raise support for them, but to be there. Because I had a man call me today. He's an older man. Matter of fact, 1 year younger than I am. He said, Brother James, what do I do? Because he's home because of health reasons. I said, I've been there. I've been through that. He said, what do I do when a pastor says, are you coming home? Are you going to stay on the field? I said, number one, you be honest. He said, we all know that, but it's hard when you feel like you're going to lose $1,000 support just like that. So this is a real world. You know that. You have missionaries out of this church. But as I said, be honest. And you said, well, they know that, but just to encourage them, say, if you lose support, you lose support. Who called you? The Lord called you. So I would ask that you would pray for the families going to the New England states. And we don't like to think about it, but it's just a real mission field. And I'm excited about trying to learn how to work with Catholics. If you've had a Catholic background, maybe you could help me. I've studied a lot, but, you know, when I meet Catholics, I just say, well, God loves Catholics too. And I don't try to be offensive. But that's a real need in our country. And when you go above the Mason-Dixon, is the Catholicism has a stronghold in the New England states. So maybe you have some questions maybe you have some comments you'd like to make. Say, Brother James, you need to do this and you need to do that. I'm teachable. And I know that you've been through, and some of you are cross-cultural families, but I want to be an encouragement because, you know, America is losing that strong Christian faith. And you see it on the news. And our rights are being taken away. So I ask that you would pray for us. Not that we're going to be some super-duper person that's going to do great mighty things, but we're going to do great things to the Lord because He's called us. And I believe that we can help these couples. This is like getting sick. You say, well, it seems like y'all stay sick. Well, we've been sick. And everybody has health problems. But, you know, we can empathize, not just pat someone on the back and say, well, bless your heart. But we've been there. And I pray that it'll be an encouragement. So maybe you have some questions about targeting the New England states. I want to open that up, the time. You've got some time here. Or maybe you would like to make a comment. You go right ahead. We just want to be open and transparent as possible. Yes, sir. Great. That's just another example. And I know that you can't start a church in every empty church building. There was one down in Mississippi when we visited there near Brookhaven. But it was an old Presbyterian church. And I asked the pastor, I said, well, he said, it's for sale. He said, you want to come start a church? I said, well, it's kind of close to your church. I said, but we could do that. So there are a lot of buildings. And you know, when you see the DVD and you think, 8,000 churches? I mean, there's a lot of churches that are closing every day. So you're doing a great job right here at Crooked Creek, but if the Lord does call you, we're recruiting, we're enlisting. When I was in the military, you know, you have a recruiter, and he'll tell you all the good parts of being a missionary, and number one is being in God's perfect will. But if you're in God's will right here, that's where it starts. That's how the Lord used us, and God doesn't use lazy people. And I know lately it seemed like we've just kind of been out of it and not been our best, but I told Kathy, I said, we're getting older. We're not as young as we used to, but in your mind, you want to, Lord, I'm still 25, but that's reality. But, you know, we have a lot of opportunities to serve the Lord, and that's what we're doing, and to help these families, that's what we want to do. That was a great comment and truth about empty churches. Any others? Yes, sir.
What about the church that you're talking about? Are they just not going to church anymore, or are they being lured into the more liberal church like the church?
Well, what we've seen of these small churches, say someone does a church plant. We've had a lot of instances where a man goes and tries to start a church, but he gets discouraged. Just like, you know, there in Florale, you could get discouraged even with a lot of folks around you. But a lot of churches are closing because, number one, they do not have an opportunity to work with folks as their home church as you do. Now, you're a very involved church with your missionaries. But a lot of couples say, well, I just like to go start a church. I'm strong local church. Because when I'm on the deputation trail, I'll say, who's your home church? Well, I don't have a home church. So a lot of these churches, they've begun, and because they didn't have the support of the home church to come and encourage them, equip them, and help them expedite things that they needed, like, well, what do I do about, you know, visitation? And that's a reality that sometimes, you know, we don't think about, is church planters are folks that are not even necessarily with a mission board. They'll just take off and try to start a church, and they'll rent a storefront, and then they call it a church, and it is in its early stages, but then it just closes. So all of that has to do with the statistics, because that goes on record, because once you register at the county seat that you are a nonprofit organization, you know, and you're considered such and such church, then that goes on the record, and when it's taken off the record, it's closed. So that's a very, I've heard of that quite a bit, and this brother up there in Massachusetts, he said, are you like one of those typical Southerners? It's like the loud singing and the shouting. And I said, well, I like good singing, and we shout if the Lord's in it. He said, well, if you come up here, it won't work. So that's what's happening in the northern states. The Southerner comes up there, and he wants it to be his typical church in the South, and so they get discouraged after about a year or two, and the wife says, let's go home. So they go home. So that's a real world there about new starts, but just not staying with it, you know, for the long haul. This brother said it takes 20 years in Massachusetts to just get your feet on the ground. I said, 20 years? He said, yeah. He said, if you're not willing to stay, don't come. So they're lifers. So that's something that... Now, I'm getting all this input from pastors. These are older men. I mean men in their 60s and 70s. Brother Barris is 78. He said, Brother James, get out of that warm bed, come up here and help us plant churches. So that's where those statistics are coming from, is little works that have started and then closed. And we do have the mega churches. Everybody's saying, well, I don't like 15 in my church. I want to go where there's 1,500. And I can just sit on the pew and not get involved. So that's a real world. And you are involved here. I know this church, and just like our home church. So it takes knowing why those churches have closed. It's because people have gotten discouraged. And they're just not willing to stay, and they close. And so when that record's taken off the county seat or registered, okay, that's a closed church. So it doesn't mean people are not going and trying. They're just not staying with it. So that's a very important thing. So appreciate it. Any other questions? Yes. I think number one, as I said earlier, you've got to be called. It's just like pastor here, and when this church started, I should know how long pastor's been here, but you've just got to be willing. Yeah, it's a commitment. To me, I believe that if you're willing to put down some roots and stay and to get a work started, I believe what you've got to do is, number one, you've got to know that God's called you to be a church planter. And when you get into church planning, you realize that it could just be you and your wife and your children. And you've got to just say, Lord, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to be friendly to the community. I'm going to learn everything I can. I'm going to meet the banker. I'm going to meet the lawyers. I'm going to meet the mayor. And a lot of people, they just want to stay in their little bubble. And I'm not saying you have to compromise your convictions and your beliefs, but you've got to get out and meet the people. And a lot of people, they say, well, we didn't do it this way at our home church, and they get discouraged. So I believe, number one, you have to have the call of God. And when you know that God's called you to a certain place, you can stay there even though the crowds are small. And see, that's what happened in Florala. They were watching us. I get out and cut the grass, you know, and, you know, wash the car, just typical things. And they were saying, well, you know, you're here to stay for a while. And I said, I am until the Lord calls the pastor. So I believe you have to have a peace to know that God's called you to that place. And when you are there, then you can stay till God says it's time to move. Yes. Well, I can't speak from experience because I've not been there. It's just like when I went to Indonesia. I knew what the missionaries said, and I could study everything I could find out on the Internet. But from what I've talked to Brother Barris there in Massachusetts, he said, Brother James, he said, they're just stone-faced folks. He said, they're not emotional, but you just got to preach the word. So he's been there for 25 years, and they have about 40 people in their church. So it's just being, you know, consistent, because he said, we have hard winters. And he said, the people, they're just, they drink everything they get their hands on. And he said, they're just hard people to work with. He said, but you've got to know that God's called you. So I think that's where God is allowing us to be willing to go because of our faith in Him. But it's hard to put it into words, but I believe that because of the unbelief, the Bible says because of their unbelief, God did not do, or Jesus didn't do many miracles. So you have to be faithful. And even in unbelief, I believe that, you know, God can use you as you're friendly to them. And a lot of times just speaking, you know, open your mouth and just say something. I believe that God's given me an ability to do visitation. A lot of people don't like to do door-to-door. Now, you may not can do door-to-door, but I believe meeting people is the key. And that's what Brother Barris has shared with us, is just meeting the people. So that's what we're looking forward to doing. So by faith, we want you to go with us. Yes, ma'am. Great, tell me something.
I don't know where you're coming from. People up there
Right. Right.
There's not all that different. You just have, like you say,
right.
Get to know them. It's like going anywhere else.
Right. Right.
They're all, if they just know and know you a little bit,
right. The fact that you care about them as a person. You're not there to manipulate them. You just care about them as a person. And I believe that it worked in Asia because in Asia, they look in the eye and they say, hey, I can tell if you're true blue, if you really mean what you're saying. So I believe that all of us have that need, that longing. Hey, accept me for who I am, you know. I may have ears that stick out like mine do. I may have squinty eyes like from the Indians. I may have a weird name, but hey, I'm a real person. And I need somebody just to care about me. And you got to get to know them. That is lifestyle evangelism as well as sharing the gospel. But I'm thankful that. Now, what state are you from?
Upstate New York.
Upstate New York.
I always say upstate New York, but you say New York and upstate New York.
Right. 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 Yes. That's true. So whether it be a rural area or city, it's just being yourself. Any other questions? I appreciate your patience. As if you take our prayer card, my cell number's on there. If you have any questions, say in the middle of the night you're thinking of something or you'd like to ask us, we're available. And we won't just be a help to you and not discourage you, but what you're doing here is great. A lot of you are homeschooling, and that's important, and teaching your children just to put the Lord first. And now you're reaping the fruits of that in your church, and I want to thank you for that. So that's important. We don't have that to deal with, or our boys are grown, but now we're dealing with our grandchildren. So be faithful in teaching your children, and I believe that's why this church is strong. And I see these young people, I see their eyes, and I see that they're excited about serving the Lord. Pastor, thanks.